Happy almost Easter. We're 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from Easter. The resurrection day. Seemed like yesterday was Christmas, right? Some things in time seem faster and slower than others, right? I'm going to talk to you this morning about a prophet, Zechariah. This book was written 520 years B.C. So 520 years before Christ, Zechariah wrote this. When I looked again, I saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. "Where are you going?" I asked. He replied, "I'm going to measure Jerusalem to see how wide and long it is." Then the angel who was with me went to meet a second angel who was coming toward him. The other angel said, "Hurry and say to the young man, Jerusalem will someday be so full of people and livestock that there won't be room enough for everyone. Many will live outside the city walls. Then I myself will be a protective wall of fire around Jerusalem, says the Lord. And I will be the glory inside the city." The Lord says, "Come away, flee from Babylon in the land of the north, for I have scattered you to the four winds. Come away, people of Zion, who are exiled in Babylon. Come out from there. After a period of glory, the Lord of heaven's army sent me against the nations who plundered you. For he said, anyone who harms you harms my most precious possession. I will raise my fist to crush them, and their people will actually plunder them. Then you know that the heaven's armies has sent me." The Lord says, "Shout and rejoice, O beautiful Jerusalem, for I am coming to live among you. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day, and they too will be my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies sent me to you. The land of Judah will be the Lord's special possession in the Holy Land, and he will once again choose Jerusalem to be his own city. Be silent before the Lord, all humanity, for he is springing into action from his holy dwelling." So guess who came to live among the people in Jerusalem? Jesus. Jesus. This prophecy, 520 years prior to Jesus arrived in Jerusalem. And while he was there all throughout Israel, throughout Samaria, throughout Galilee, throughout Capernaum, through all Bethany, all the places where Jesus was, he was amongst the people. And he did miraculous things, did he not? So many stories in the Gospels. Just read the Gospel of John. It'll blow your mind about all the people's lives that Jesus touched, one after another, after another, after another. Or you might read in the book of Mark and you'll find it there, or the book of Luke, or perhaps even in Matthew. You're going to see all the ways in which Jesus ministered in Jerusalem and the surrounding area, bringing forgiveness and mercy and grace and healing and restoration and resurrection to everywhere he went. Prophecy fulfilled. Prophecy fulfilled. In fact, this coming week, in the last days of Jesus' life, we know the story of Lazarus. He raises Lazarus this week. And this upcoming Saturday is known as Lazarus Saturday. Why? Because he was resurrected from the dead, and they had a party and a celebration for him on that Saturday. And that's when Mary anoints Jesus for his burial, because a week later, we know, he will be crucified on the cross. Why? Zechariah 3. "Then the angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, 'I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Jeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, "Take off his filthy clothes." And turning to Jeshua, he said, "See, I have taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you these new fine clothes." Then I said, "They should also place a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean priestly turban on his head and dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Jeshua and said, "This is what the Lord of heaven armies says. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. I will let you walk among these standing there. Listen to me, Jeshua, the high priest, and all you other priests. You are symbols of the things to come. Soon, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Now look at the jewel I have set before Jeshua, a single stone with seven facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord, and I will remove the sins of all this land and all people's guilt in a single day." Prophecy. Prophecy. Jeshua, the name means God saves. Savior. Jesus. Same name. The branch was prophesied in the book of Isaiah 11:1. Out of the stump of Jesse, I will bring a branch, and it will give life to everyone. Jesus. The stone that's being referred to here, that's set before Jeshua, it's known as the cornerstone. Isaiah 28, verse 6. I will place in Jerusalem a precious cornerstone, and anyone who believes in that stone will never, ever be disgraced or put to shame. You see why we have the name cornerstone here? So here we see in the book of Zechariah something that was going to take place 520 years later. And here we are 2,023 years later on, in between that, I guess. Jesus was here for 3 years in his ministry, 33 years old. But what we see in all these scriptures are a lot of things, I think. First of all, we see that God, when the people were in Babylon, let's go to the context of what Zechariah was writing about. The people were in Babylon. Jerusalem was destroyed. The people had been carried off and they were in captivity. All hope was lost as far as those Israelites thought. And then God speaks to them and says, "Come out of that place and we're going to rebuild Jerusalem." It happens in the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra as well. That's when it actually transpires. But Zechariah is the one that prophesies this. So what does that do with you and me? Anybody here ever been in a place where things are broken down and broken into pieces? Anybody here ever had a bad then? And it seems like all hope is lost. Things have crumbled. Things are crashed. Things have fallen apart. It looks as though it's done for. It's the end. Right? Zechariah's name means God remembers. God remembers each and every one of us all the time. And here's what I know about all the truth of the Bible. No matter where we were, God is going to take us to a better place over here. No matter what's destroyed, God will rebuild and restore and resurrect. No matter how far down we get, it's never the end, ever. Every time Jesus was ministering, all the miracles that he did, particularly raising people from the dead, that kind of is proof itself, right? That even death is not something that can destroy us, can it? Of course not. Jesus is life, and he came to give us life. And some of us get stuck in that Babylonian place of sorrow and guilt and shame, don't we? Because the reason they went to Babylon is because they disobeyed God. We know that, right? They had their own consequences for their bad behavior. They were in time out for sure. Not a very pleasant time out, but time out nonetheless. But see, here's the thing about God. God remembers not only the people, but he remembers his covenant with them. He made a covenant in the Old Testament with Abraham, right? He made a covenant with Noah as well. He made a covenant with Moses. He has all the old law and all the old covenant was made. But in the meantime, he saw that people needed a new covenant, a new way, a new out of what they were going through. Because people are going to continue to sin, unfortunately, and make mistakes, right? The only sinless human being ever was Jesus, partially because he didn't have a natural father. He had a Holy Spirit father. His natural father was in the line of Adam, who began sinning in a way, disobeying God, right? But God made a new way. God is always about making new ways, isn't he? Yes? But some of us, unfortunately, when we get in a place where things aren't looking so great, like in the darkness, let's say, or in a place where it doesn't look very good in the moment, whatever that situation in our life is, or if we're racked with guilt because we have made mistakes, God remembers his new covenant through Jesus Christ, an everlasting covenant of eternal life, forgiveness of sins. That's what the new covenant is about. And in the midst of this, we see Satan show up, don't we? Satan's name means adversary or opponent. He's the opposition of God. He's our adversary. He also is the accuser. Anybody in this room ever remember some of the bad things you've done? And anybody here in this room ever hear somebody tell you how awful you are and that God could not possibly forgive you or love you? Anybody ever hear that voice? That's the accuser. But see, we got an accuser. Call him the prosecutor, if you will. But over here, we have the redeemer and the deliverer, and we have the judge that says, not guilty. Not guilty. You're free. You're free. Yeah. Throughout Jesus' ministry, so often, he spoke to people and said to them, your sins are forgiven, right? The Samaritan woman, the woman that was caught in adultery, the woman that wept at his feet because she had been forgiven much, right? Just some the paralyzed man who was stuck in his past. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, stand up and walk. And he set him free, and everybody praised God because of that, right? See, Jesus came to say, your sins are forgiven, were forgiven, and will be forgiven. So they were, they are, and they will be. And we can stand up and walk in that, can't we? Be free of that, can't we? Guilt died on Good Friday. Shame about that guilt died then. The inscription, it doesn't say what it is. You have to go through the Bible and find it like I did. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes back, he'll wear a robe again, as he did here in this prophecy. And on it will be inscribed, King of Kings, Lord of Lords of all. Of all who? All people. All of us. When he comes back. So here's the thing. The people were in Babylon. God decided to do something about it, didn't he? God sent Jesus so that he could be among the people, right? And he did come, right? It's actually proven historically, in fact. He came. And then he died. He was the burning stick in the fire. He went to hell. to let people out of hell, as 1 Peter tells us, right? But guess what? He was a burning stick, meaning he was on fire once, but guess what happened? Fire went out. Jesus was the living water. That's how you put out fires, right? The burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. God himself, that fire could very well be what we know as the tomb, correct? We know he's going to rise from the dead in a couple of weeks, right? We know that. It's a story we all know. It's proven through these prophecies as well. But more importantly, what does that mean for you? Well, I will remove the sins of everyone in a single day. What a day that will be, huh? What a day that will be. That day's coming, right? No, that day came. Guess what? If you mess up today, guess what happens? You live in the future, don't you? You live in the prophecy that your sins were forgiven in a single day. Every sin that you would ever have or do, or every mess up, every mistake, every shortcoming, everything that you need deliverance from happened in one day. What a day that was, huh? That was a good day for humanity, wasn't it? The best day. Here's the problem. Some of you don't live and rejoice in that. Some of you live as though you're still stuck in that tomb. Some of you live as though you're still in the fire. Some of you live as though you're somebody that God can't love. Some of you live in the guilt and the shame of what you've done in your past. Right? You're messing up the Bible. Let me ask you this way. If you had something in your house that was pretty bad and smelly, like some old food you find in the back of the refrigerator. You know, you have it there, I know. At least we have it in our refrigerator, I'm sure. But needless to say, right, it's in there, right? And then somebody says, oh, let me come and clean your refrigerator out for you. And in they go, mask on, gloves, hazmat team. Oh. You go in. No, you go in. And reaches in and takes that out, and then takes and throws a lot of Clorox bleach in there, right? And it's clean and brand new, right? That's what happened to your sin. The great man Jesus came and he took all of your stuff out of anything you've ever done, all that yuck. No matter what it is that happened to you, or someone did to you, or you did to someone else, or you did yourself, all of that yuck that sometimes lives inside of us is just getting moldy and smelly and crappy and cruddy. And although I'm a pastor and I know I counsel, it's sometimes pretty dangerous. We'd have to go in there and pull it out. But I want you to know, guess what? It really isn't in there. Lo and behold, you can look and look and look, and guess what? It is actually gone. Because when did it go? Good Friday, when Jesus nailed it to the cross. And when he rose from the dead, he came out of that tomb miraculously. And before he did that, he descended into hell and took everybody out and brought him to the heavenly realms. Isn't that great news? What a day that was, huh? So listen, what I want for you is this. When the accuser tries to tell you something, open your Bible, if you have to Zechariah 3, and see what the Lord says to Satan. Tell him like it is. and tell them who's the rock on which you stand. Satan is a liar. We, you, I, all of us have to remember we've been forgiven and we no longer need to listen to the lies of Satan trying to tell us we haven't been forgiven or to accuse us of all the things we didn't do or did do or whatever the case might be. Because God remembers our sins no more, it also says in this beautiful book. He takes your sins as far as the east is from the west. Do you need more scripture verses? He throws your sins into the ocean. Blum, 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 blum. We live in the new covenant, the covenant of forgiveness. We don't live in Babylon anymore. We live in Cornerstone. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So rejoice in that. Smile about that. You thought the best day of the year was Christmas when he was born. And let's be honest, it's because we all get gifts on that day. But the greatest day in history for all humanity was the day that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. That's the greatest day to prove once and for all that death has no sting. Death has no power. Sin has no power. Guilt is gone. Shame is gone. And grace and mercy have come to live in each and every one of us. Amen. So listen, priests of God, as Peter says, we are all of a living stones. Royal priesthood, all of us. Take off those filthy clothes. Well, God did, right? Put on some new robe of righteousness, righteousness in Christ. We are right standing with Christ. God loves us. We're okay with God. And God's okay with you. Yes? And put on a turban, a crown, and strut around. Because Yeshua, Jesus Christ, saved us, delivered us, set us free for all eternity. He came to give us life and give it in all of its fullness and abundance. Let's live like it. If you've got guilt and shame, there's a trash barrel here, there's one in the fellowship hall, and there's a dumpster outside. Put it in there. Put it in there. Because we don't want anybody thinking it as though they still are in sin or not forgiven. The tomb is empty. The refrigerator is empty of all your junk. Your soul is set free. And we rejoice in that, don't we? What a day. What a day that Jesus gave us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.